Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here he is.
Hey, man.
How you doing? You all right?
Not as good as you.
Why? Because I'm topless.
Yeah. You just get home and strip down.
Yeah, you've got to get into
your
pants.
You get hot easily.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. I just had a shawarma as well, so.
Did you eat a topless?
Yeah, of course. What I did was wash my hands, of course. Immediately got into my pants, got into bed and ate my shawarma.
Wow.
Yeah.
Doesn't your bed smell a bit foody?
Nah. It's over the cut. I've still got like the bed spread over it and shit.
You've
and
got the
balcony door open.
Yeah, okay.
It's very bachelor pad eating, isn't it?
Yeah, I respect that.
Yeah, you got to respect that. Hey, talking of no tops, you've got none on your head.
I know. Well, I mean,
how's it going up there?
Yeah, it's not great. It's not voice great. Falling it's apart. Right.
That's happened quickly, though, isn't it? I remember seeing photos. No, actually, it's because you had longer hair before.
Yeah, I had a fringe, but in the wind, it just fucking reveals too much. And
do you know what it looks like now? It looks like it was fashionable for Scottish rude boys in the 90s. They've got like shaved hair and a tuft at the front.
I am gonna go Turkey at Christmas.
It's Turkey on the cards.
Yeah, I've paid a deposit.
Hey, and guess what? You're not only gonna be eating a turkey at Christmas, you're gonna be going there.
Yeah, man.
That is Stand Up Owl.
So good.
Stand Up Owl's coming out. Be careful.
Speaking of Turkish food.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah, good call. Okay, yeah.
He's not Turkish, but...
No, but there's butchers in Turkey, so it's sort of linked
famous.
In.
Famous.
Today's guest is someone very special.
As always.
Someone who's been putting his fingers to work on a drum machine for many, many years. Who's worked so hard in making the naughtiest hip-hop beats known to man that he must have some very bad posture.
Yes. His back is at a right angle.
Because you've got a hunch when you're on the MPC.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a producer.
You've got to sniff it.
Someone who's been known for a very long time as a don in the UK hip-hop game, and he's realised he's completed it, and now he can just fuck off to America and take the only route he knows right, the dream of flying over to America and flying their flag for them. Yeah?
Yeah.
As well as the British flag out there.
Makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Someone, yeah. Who's worked with the biggest heavyweight hip-hop dons in the game. If I was to say to you, Hugo, Mobb Deep, you'd say...
I love them.
If I was to say Sean Price, you'd say...
He's not Sean Paul.
No, he's not, an R.I.P.
R.I.P, yeah.
If I was to say Jay-Z and Beyonce, you'd say...
Oh, I think I know someone who produced one of their beats.
Exactly. And if I was to say Conway the Machine, in fact, the whole of the Griselda camp, you'd say...
Beat Butcher.
Well, no, not yet.
All right.
And if I was to say 2 Chainz, Dave East, Rick Ross, The Alchemist, Lloyd Banks, Exhibit, Jewel Santana, Danny Brown, then you'd say, you've guessed it. Now.
Beat Butcher.
Exactly. Man like Beat Butcher.
Beat Butcher.
This is nothing more than an intro.
All right. Beat Butcher. How you doing, bro?
Yeah, great.
Yeah,
this is unusual for me. I feel like proper, like fucking, feel proper like LA now. Like I'm on a podcast.
You are, man. You are
in my bedroom.
What'd you have for breakfast? Salad.
Kale
salad and a blunt.
I had a quinoa injection transfusion.
Nice.
Directly into my eye with some organically sourced steroids.
So you don't have to even eat, really?
No.
Organic opium.
Yeah,
perfect. Absolutely. And a colonic as well. I'm actually having the colonic right now.
Nice. Oh, nice. Saves time because you're quite busy.
Yeah.
Do you have an enema before bed or just...
No, I don't usually do that before bed. No,
okay,
that's...
Okay, cool, man.
Yeah.
Is that like an England thing?
Hugo, no, you're
an
animal.
No, I think that's an English thing, that's man. You've gone too far, bruv.
Okay. Cool producers like me and Beat Butcher would never do it in the evening.
No, absolutely. I'm not a producer, by the way.
No,
you've got the wrong guy on.
Yeah. He's a Morris dancer.
Oh, it's the other Beat Butcher.
Yeah.
It's the other Beat Butcher, the Morris dancer. Yeah, you're right.
Last time I spoke to you, you called me up. I didn't know the number and you said it was Barry Chuckle. I was like, who the fuck is that? I was on holiday, so baffled.
Nah, bro, you knew exactly who it was. You saw an American number.
I knew from Barry Chuckle, from an American number. I was like, this can only be one person.
Well, who else is it going to be?
This is either Beat Butcher or Alchemist. Barry Chuckle, it's Beat Butcher.
It's Beat Butcher, there you go.
Alan and Barry Chuckle are good friends, apparently.
Okay.
Fucking
imagine. He's his engineer.
Just produced the new Barry Chuckle album.
Yeah, yeah. I thought Alchemist, like Barry Chuckle, found him.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I heard Barry Chuckle sets up the mic for Conway.
He said Barry Chuckle sets up the mic for Conway.
Yeah, he's his hype man. He pumps
him
up.
He's on drum work. He's on drum work, bro.
He's
a new signing. The announcement hasn't been made yet, but I'll break it now.
Sick.
Well, how's everything been, bro, man? How long you been living in LA now?
Like 3 years.
Wow.
Wow. Fuck it. You did it, man.
Yeah.
You did it. I remember.
I did it. Took for fucking ever, man. Like the whole green card process is long, but fuck it. I got here. And I got here after Trump got in.
Wow.
Which was surprising.
Wow.
So maybe, I feel blessed.
Maybe he liked you. He saw the picture and was like, I like this guy.
Possibly. No, I don't know.
You look more like me. He'd probably think we're Mexicans.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But I got through. Hold on. Oh, sorry. I'm alarm. Professional stuff here.
I've
been here for 3 years. It doesn't even feel like three. It feels longer and it feels shorter in some ways because I feel
it must
like...
It be quite a blur, quite a dream,
massive
right?
Life change, man.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's been a goal for a long time.
Yeah.
Just life had steered me in a different direction. And then I kind of circled back and moved out this way, man. So, it's dope, man. Good weather most of the time. And opportunities all the time, bro. That's really what,
Yeah, for sure,
about.
Bro.
Couldn't get much better for hip-hop, bro.
We'll get into that in a bit. And how's it been just living there in this last year, man? Has it been, I don't really know, Corona doesn't really exist out there, do you think, innit?
No, it definitely does exist out here. It's so polarized. I mean, the States is so polarized, even with everything that was going on politically and stuff. I'm not going to lie, last year... has kind of made me kind of think, about what's really important, I've got to say, in the kind of, not to get all deep and fucking emotional, I don't know. It's kind of weird because it's you start to think about I'm predominantly known for making gangster rap music and shit. And I'm kind of well, is that really everything that I want to put out there? You know what I mean? And, I don't know.
But you can hear in your music, there's way more to you than gangster shit, from knowing you for a short period. Well, not even a short period.
No, you've known me for quite a long time.
Yeah,
now,
but
man.
From knowing you.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I know that you are a serious music guy. You know a sample.
But I only really know you as a gun-wielding maniac.
There's two sides to you.
I fit right in America.
Yeah, that's the butcher side.
The mass shooter.
The mass
murderer. Not in a cool way, more like shooting up schools.
Shooting up schools and that.
I'm
trying
elderly
to make that
children.
Cool. I'm trying to change it.
Trying to make that pop.
I'm getting cancelled for sure.
That's definitely a joke for everyone listening.
You know what organ was played on a song, that level.
Yeah, I mean... I'm on some nerdy shit, man. I like to analyze, like, I don't know. I've always had a kind of like a fascination for kind of like old textures and stuff like that. So I kind of end up like trying to pick apart every record that I like.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, that's a B3. That's a fucking Farfisa Super Partner. Sick. That kind of stuff. Yeah, it's nerdy as hell. But yeah, I mean, in a way, that's kind of guided me to be where I'm at, you know.
Yeah, sure.
So
how's the last year been being out there under like what's going on and that? Have you just been working the whole time through, or?
I mean, I've as much as I can, you know what I mean? There's definitely, people are still doing sessions and stuff.
Yeah.
But when the lockdown first started, obviously, you know, I isolated the same way that everybody else did for like 2 months or whatever. But after that, I've just basically been working. Now, I've kind of benefited from the fact that not so many people from other places have been able to come, or have been coming to LA, because I've been getting involved in projects that kind of, I don't know, projects that are like a bit beyond what I've already been doing.
Oh, that's cool.
Just purely off of the fact also that I'm, not purely, but like also off of the fact that I'm like here, so I can just pull up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you know how it is, man. So it's it can be a competitive kind of like arena, like production,
especially hip hop
production.
Yeah. Has it felt like at any point you could take a step back and still be creative, but without that that element of the like harsh competition that exists when it ain't, you know, when we're not going through a pandemic sort of thing?
I mean, I try and ignore that anyway, in all honesty, man, because if I start thinking about like, you know, how other people are better, then I just don't want to make music in the first place.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I try and challenge myself to make, you know, things that I don't always make, but yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I try not to think about it anyway, to be honest with you. But one thing that's been good is the fact that there's been more time just to cook at home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like when you're doing kind of sessions back to back, sometimes I feel like one, my social meter kind of runs out. Like I just start to be like, I don't want to be around people.
Yeah.
And then obviously it's not again. I'm nothing against anybody, but like, when I'm getting put in situations with new people that I don't really know, it's like speed dating and it's kind of draining a little bit.
Yeah,
so,
of course, man. That first hour, 2 hours of kind of like working out what the vibe is fucking difficult with anyone, especially when you're asking, you know, to make me like kind of, I don't know.
Like be comfortable and creative.
Because I would always think, fuck, man, they've clocked it. They know I'm shit.
Yeah, bro, I have that imposter syndrome too.
I have it all the time. Yeah, I had it all the time. Like, oh man, they worked it out. I might as well go.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Especially when you get in a room with like people that are just like multi-instrumentalists and just crazy and talented.
Yeah,
and you're like, why am I even here?
Yeah. What are they seeing me?
Yeah, I don't even understand why I'm here. Like, I'm
why are they asking me if that's all right to record? Yeah. Like, I don't fucking, you know what you're doing, man.
Yeah, you go, I'm going to sit in the corner on my phone.
I've just made
a loop with a few bass lines and some strings and shit. I don't know.
Yeah. What key is it in? I don't know, man. It's a sample.
Zed diminished? I'm not
sharp,
sure. I can't remember.
Sharp or some shit, man.
I don't know.
All I remember is that I played only black notes.
Yeah.
That's all I ever played.
I only played 3 notes. That's all I ever played.
Yeah, yeah.
Bing, bong, bong. No, it sounds like a record, doesn't it?
Yeah. It does. It literally sounds like a record. It's been done before.
Yeah, but we're flipping it, bro. It's
That's genius.
Genius.
This is a very useful part of the show for when you need things to do. It's the recommendation part.
So have you had much time to just chill as well? And like, have you got any recommendations for the people then, that you've, anything you've been listening to, watching, reading?
I've been listening to a lot, man. I'm gonna sound like I'm really turning LA, man. I've just listened to mad like alternative R&B.
Oh yeah, that's hard. Yeah.
I've been listening to like Lucky Day and like bunch of shit like that, man. And I just discovered this Charlie Heat album which is from like 2017, which is sick. It's like some retro, I don't know, it's like some retro funky soul shit. But it's not like not retro as in like he's trying, I don't know.
Yeah, I get you.
It's funky, man. So I've been banging that one. And then
are these like people from LA? They're like locals.
I think Charlie Heat had something to do with Aaliyah back in the day. He's one of the producers.
Right.
But I don't know, man. Somebody put me onto it the other day and I was like, whoa, this is crazy. Every tune on it is crazy. It works with the weather here too, because it's like kind of like funky.
Yeah. Vibesy.
Yeah, it's like a cross between some like funkadelic and I don't know, it's like kind of rocky funk shit.
Yes.
Dope, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, man, just been 90 Day Fiancé.
Oh, yeah. That's hard. That is hard, bro. Hey, I've been watching that, bro. Wait, and it's not the first time it's come up on this show, bro. It's hard.
Yeah. And then fucking Dr. Pimple Popper.
What's that? Sounds like some German shit.
Yeah.
Dr. Pimple Popper. No, it does sound German, doesn't it? Yeah. No, it's something with some woman that runs a surgery that basically pops cysts.
Wow.
I don't know why it's fascinating. That's very LA, morbidly fascinating.
It's very American.
You just watch it and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's like people with these massive lumps and then they like
fucking hell.
Yeah, they slice it open and like squeeze the pus. Like, I don't know.
Okay, I get it. It's
that's like what's that English show we've got here, Hugo? like Beat Rich is not English. The English show we have here.
It's all the
worst bits of embarrassing
the
bodies.
The English show that we have
speak,
here.
Yeah, you know our language, we use it on TV too.
Yeah, you using my language.
But when you try to do Jamaican, you cannot do.
Jesus Christ.
Ah, shit. All right, sick. Well, listen, that's the records, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Ask. If you don't ask, boy, you don't get. Ask.
Let's take this back now. Where was you raised, bro? Where did you grow up?
Part of my life in the Netherlands and part of my life in like in the UK, basically, like south of the UK. Yeah.
So that's the Dutch connection then. I always wondered that.
My mum still lives in the Netherlands. Basically my folks moved there when I was like a baby.
Mm.
And then they broke up and my mum stayed there and my dad moved back to the UK, basically.
So how was it moving back and forward? Where did you go to school then?
I went to school part of my few years of my life basically in the Netherlands and then like in Guildford in fucking in the UK and then back to the Netherlands again.
So when you were in England, where you were in Guildford?
Yeah, the Guildford area.
So where
nice
did
bit of Surrey?
Yeah. So what was that your first thing, I guess, like was it DJing or was it making beats or was it just the love for music?
I think like I've always been like a fan of music, man. Like both my folks are kind of like, they're not like super in, like musos, but like my dad definitely has an eclectic taste and my mom has quite an eclectic taste too. So
what type of shit would they be listening to then in the house?
My mom was listening to like a lot of French records. She had a lot of French records. She had like, and then like when I was growing up, like a lot of pop soul stuff and kind of Bon Jovi and that kind of stuff too.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I love that shit. Yeah.
He knows how to write a hit.
Yeah.
And then my dad has like a really eclectic taste though, man. He likes everything from like Zouk music to like classical music and Dr. John and Bob Dylan and stuff like that. So
sick.
I guess like I grew up, pretty much every time, every weekend, you know, they'd be blasting music like loud or anytime he was in a car, they'd be listening to music. And I guess I caught the bug from early on, man. Yeah. My first kind of musical obsession was probably like Michael Jackson.
Same. And we wouldn't say on here as well, we would have been his obsession as well had he met us at the time.
Yeah. In the corner of his bed. I'm joking.
I can remember fucking breakdancing with my gran. And yeah, trying to like moonwalk over the couch with my gran, like when I was like six.
Yeah, I did all that shit, bro. Yeah.
I remember my gran catching me doing the sort of crotch grab, and she told me, she was like, not that one. Okay, cool.
yeah, no, I don't know. My first. Yeah. So yeah, like long story short. So I guess I started collecting records and then turned into a DJ.
So it started just by having a record player and collecting records?
Kind of, yeah. CDs and records.
And was it like hip-hop vinyls?
Yeah, really when I started to really like collect like records and stuff, it was mostly like hip-hop and your word like trip-hop and that kind of stuff, you know what I mean?
Nice, yeah.
Breakbeat.
Yeah, it's not, nowadays it's a bit of a, it's a bit of a like cringe-worthy, but...
Yeah, but it's what built you, isn't it? Like, what was the first type of hip hop you were into, and how did you get into that? Did you have someone that you knew that was into it?
Yeah, yes. Childhood friend of mine. There was for some reason he would always go to America for the summer, me and my friend always looked up to them, and I guess when I was like, I don't know, seven or something like that. They would bring back tapes and stuff, and I'd borrow the tapes, and that kind of basically got me into it. Like I kind of got into it early on, and like he had a lot of like dub tapes from like the radio and stuff like that. So I know like quite a lot about like 80s hip hop too, which is kind of weird for people of my generation.
But was he an older brother, the friend's brother?
Yeah, it was an older brother.
That's always the way, isn't it? Like, because the fact that, like, even if you're into, like, 90s, early 90s hip-hop, my generation shouldn't really know about that. Do you know what I'm saying? But it's always like an older brother. Like, one of my older sister's friends had a Snoop Dogg tape. You know what I mean?
I got to say, probably the first things that I kind of really, like, hip-hop that I really... I had, like, some compilations and stuff like that before. Yeah. I had, like, the Bomb the Bass compilation and a bunch of stuff in, like, the early 90s. But the first... Because I was into, like,
Rap
grunge
attack.
And stuff.
I had to take the Rap Attack.
Rap Attack. All the compilation compilations back in them days were so... They always had cheesy fucking names, man. I don't know. I was into grunge and shit as well at the same time. So it was, it was all... Yeah, Nirvana, like Pearl Jam,
sick.
Bunch of that stuff. But like, the first like stuff that I really, really like fell in love with was probably like Wu-Tang and Onyx and like Snoop. That was all around the same time, basically.
Yeah.
And then like, I don't know, I guess from there, like I just became obsessed with just everything hip hop and like, you know how it is, man. When you're like a teenager, like getting obsessed with hip hop, and there's not really a huge amount of people around. Like there was people around me that were into it, but their feeling for it wasn't as deep in terms of like they weren't like digging for like you know weren't like trying to listen to a group home album or something like that. You know what I mean? They were like more surface level. Yeah, it was more like you know.
They might know Living Proof, but they don't know the album.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? I don't know, man. It's weird. I kind of became this like super backpacker kid. You know, I don't know. It felt like a gradual kind of like development into beats because I was always kind of mostly obsessed with the beats. Like whenever I went through like a lot of my old record collection. When my mum just recently moved not too long ago, and I had like a bunch of crates there of just random independent like hip hop 12 inches, and I was just listening through them. I was like, all the rappers suck on it. It was the beats were good, and all the rappers. Terrible rapping, and then like no beats on it. For the most part, like I mean, I there was a few gems in there, you know what I mean? So I was just buying anything that had beats, and I just wanted to make beats.
So how did that step come about then? Was it the era where people were making beats at home and shit, like, or was this like before that?
I think it was at the time where like computers were kind of becoming like where like it was a household thing to have a computer that you could probably make like music on, like badly, but you could, you know what I'm saying? So when I moved back to Holland in like 98, I basically like just begged my folks for a computer, and my dad was so cheap. He was like, What do you think you can get for 100 guilders? To the local, 100 guilders, like this. this is what the currency was before euros, right?
Anyway, yeah.
Basically 3 guilders to a pound.
Oh, wow.
And, even in those days, 100 guilders would get you nothing.
Yeah. Like 60 quid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they built me this computer and it was so shit, man. It crashed every 2 seconds. And I think it had like something like 125 meg of fucking... So like, I couldn't really
like
do
anything. Like a Nokia.
Yeah, bro, it was terrible. I couldn't do anything. And then obviously we had dial-up too, didn't we? So
yeah, bro.
But yeah, that was enough. And I got Cool Edit Pro. I got like a crack of Cool Edit Pro, and I just ended up like, recording stuff from my decks through it, and then just making beats like copy and pasting.
Sick. So, and where were you learning to do this as well? Did you have anyone around you that was doing it as well? Were you just like going into like forums trying to find out or whatever? I don't know.
Nah, I mean, this is before I even knew about forums, man, really. Like, I got on forums at some point, but like 98, it was kind of early on, man.
Yeah.
Like I said, it was like dial-up days.
Yeah. So it's just like getting your information from where you can, isn't it? It's not like...
No, exactly. Yeah. No, I mean, like obviously the source and that kind of stuff, you know what I mean? Reading interviews with people in the source and stuff like that kind of gave, you know, everybody idolized the sampling drum machines at the time, you know what I mean? Like SB1200 and MPCs and all that stuff. So I thought that's what I had to have. I was like, I hated my computer and I was like, oh, I need to have an MPC. Yeah.
Same.
I want to be in a photo hunched over this square thing.
Yeah, exactly. What it looked cool. It's like space age.
I was the same, man. Yeah. And I got one and I got it home and was like, oh my God.
How do you use this thing? Yeah. No, it was the same, bro. It was the same for me, man. I got the fucking thing and I was like, oh yes, sick. I'm gonna make some shit. And then I was like, I just like connected it to my turntable and I was like, how do you
pressing and it's silent. What's going on?
Yeah, bro, I just couldn't figure it out. Like I could sample something in, but then truncate and think, I don't know. And it was like the 2000.
I thought this was going to come with the Mobb Deep Infamous drums already loaded in.
No, but that's the thing. You have no clue of like how anything works.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I didn't really have, like, I knew some people that made beats, but they made beats on like Cubase.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this is like the Atari days of Cubase. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like we had the Atari computer with Cubase in it or whatever. But I had no clue on how to, but I was like, yeah, all I knew was like, yeah, I need one of these things.
Yeah.
I don't know. I got this thing back and I was like, I can't do anything with this shit.
Yeah. And it wasn't ready available with the internet. Like you had to really find it.
Yeah. And then if you went to like a music shop, you'd be some music shops, you'd be dealing with some dickhead who'd be trying to give you the, you don't know about that.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking 16-year-old kid. What the fuck am I meant to know about this shit, bro?
Yeah, yeah. You're a fully grown man with a MIDI tattoo and a skull ring. I just want a fucking...
And a balding with a ponytail.
Just help me out. I'm a child.
Exactly.
You're a failed technician. Now get me my fucking shit.
Your shop, it's not my fault. Your shop's shit and doesn't have anybody buying from
you. I don't look up to you, all right?
Exactly.
I don't care if you think I'm a prick. Just find it. I'm with my mum.
Yo, the way my mum is as well, if she would have seen any of that, she would have been fully rude and fucking like... Yeah. Beefy with
good. They needed that,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah,
I mean that's an era that doesn't exist anymore. But
yeah, it's true.
Nah, no. Well, it doesn't exist anymore. But every now and then you bump into somebody that still has that kind of vibe. I feel like record shop guys are like that too. Sometimes,
yeah. That's what it's like for me. Going to record
some
shop.
Engineers, like you know sort of in-house guy.
Yeah.
But they're also
who hasn't washed his hair.
But they're also I was going to say they're also amazing. Well, from a distance for me anyway, because
someone like
Hugo will film him all day and send it to me. He's present. Fucking
they
amazing.
Just go about shit the longest way. I'll just be like, I need to plug my laptop in.
Yeah. Okay, let me patch it through the CLA 1B and then
it's not working.
Through the radiator. Let me just patch it into the radiator.
They go, have you downloaded the drivers? I'm like, for what? And they're like, for the Apogee. Like, no.
We're in 2021, bro.
Yeah,
give me an aux.
Give me Yeah, this is an aux and a keyboard.
This is such producer neek comedy, isn't it? Like people listening, going, "What's an apophy?"
Right? I don't get it.
Yeah. When I say apophy, people listening, yeah. I mean me.
Everyone knows apogee.
Yeah, apophy.
Wherever you live,
apophy. Yeah,
apophy,
yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Apophy
and all that keyboard.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. MC
apophy. Or the new cool Triton and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so when did you get your head round it, and when did it start being a thing where like not even like earning off it, but like just other people hearing it and it sort, you know, the first time someone else heard your music and you felt like, yeah, this is a thing. I think I can do this.
I think I got my head around it relatively quick in terms of just making kind of cool loops, yeah. But not really on the MPC. It was more just the, you know, the copy, like the chop. The copy and paste beats on Cool Edit, whatever.
Yeah.
Which is a nightmare because you can't. I mean, it's more producer nerd shit, but you can't. I basically was doing it in a way that you couldn't stem anything out. That was it.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I kind of got the. I had some cool loops with him maybe like a year or so, and then I don't know, man. Like I probably didn't. My first record didn't really come out until. Like years after that, really, it was like 2001 or two.
Yeah, and what was that?
I think it was Paragon, the anthem. No, not Paragon Anthem. Paragon, Queen Like No Other.
Yeah,
nice.
And that beat was like one of my first beats too. The guy, like Steve, had bought Rap 60 bought the beat off me in like 99 or something like that. Yeah. And then like the record had come out in 2001. But that video didn't go on Channel U until like 2005.
Wow, fuck it up.
That must have been an amazing feeling, like, yeah. You know, your first ever beats, like you sold them.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It was dope because it was, I discovered like forums by this time and like I basically was just looking for, you know, because like generally, you know, most people that said they rapped, I mean, it still is like that a little bit, but most of the general like, standard of like what people who said they rapped was really low. So,
and
at that point, it was like a lot of, you know, UK guys using American accents and that kind of stuff too.
Right, it was a time of discovery.
Yeah. And people were kind of like, you know, you had your niche people. You had people that were kind of obsessed with like whatever was going on at the time, or you Swizz Beatz and that kind of stuff. And then, you know, people that were stuck in like, Mob and Wu-Tang, and I was probably somewhere between because I kind of liked a little bit of all of
definitely.
It.
Yeah. And that's what I feel like that newer sound of UK hip-hop was getting towards at the time, innit?
Yeah.
Like you, Chemo, like all these people.
And I feel that helped you stand out.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, like, the first people that I, like, because at the time, you know, the time that I started, like, making beats, I was kind of looking up to... You know, I was watching what was going on with like certain cats like Task Force and
Skinny
like Mud Fam and
Kalash.
Well, Kalash wasn't out yet at that point.
Oh, okay.
But I'm talking, you know, 12 Stone.
So what we're saying is you sort of inspired Kalash to come out.
You sat down with him.
That's right. Exactly what I'm saying. No.
Have you seen a drum machine like, that's big before?
Mate, you've got fucking wicked raps, mate. You should do that.
Pop that reggae thing you do.
You should do Whack that on a song.
Yeah.
All that stuff, you know what I mean?
Crossover reggae rap. No one's doing it.
Yeah, no one's doing it. No. Well, I don't know. It was the early days for Clash, though. Like, Clash definitely was... Yeah,
so it was like a Mud Fam kind of era, like...
Yeah, Mudfam Task Force, like late 90s, like 98, 99, like Mudfiles.
Like North London were running it, innit?
Kind of, yeah. Black Twang was running it, really.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
That's South, Bedford.
So
I don't know, I was listening to that and I was kind of trying to like, really, I was just trying to work with those kind of guys. I didn't think at that point, like, I was listening to that and then American rap. Of the time, which was obviously like the UK stuff kind of had its own thing, which has kind of become like a bit of a cliche with the UK hip hop moniker or whatever.
Yeah.
But like at the time it was kind of fresh and it was different. So I liked the fact that everybody was using their own like slang and music. Mm. So anyway, I was kind of watching that and listening to US hip hop, I never thought that I could really work with people in the States. So I went after people in the UK. Mm-hmm. And yeah, man, I don't know. I was fortunate enough to meet. I ended up going to uni at Brunel in Uxbridge in Northwest. Nice. And Scribbler was working at the O2 there, Scribbler from Terra Firma.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's when you told him to tell Kalash to rap.
Yeah.
So you pitched the idea to him first.
Yeah, Clash was standing next to him.
Scribbler was sick though, man.
Scribbler, shouts to Clash too, man.
I was a big fan.
Those guys helped me out a lot over the years, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Same yeah.
But yeah, it was kind of random how it all happened. Like I was hanging out with my boy Marlon. Mm-hmm. And he was cool with like Genesis and Wordsmith them guys. And then somehow that went back to like they came to visit me and we went past like O2. Was it with them? I don't know. Somehow I got introduced to Michael Parkinson. Michael Parkinson introduced me to Scribbler. Mm-hmm. And then that was it from there, basically. I just like that's how I ended up meeting like Jest and like pretty much everybody that I ended up working with on the UK tip.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And it was just so important at the time, that sound, man. I know, like, kind of mock it now, but at that time,
we're not mocking. When we joke about the UK hip hop sound, they were the originators. That was sick.
Yeah.
It's the people that then tried to, it's like anything. If you're still trying to live in the 90s, it's like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? You're not prepared.
Yeah.
But it's like
a version of the 90s too, though. It's like, so, like, when people are copying that, like, at the time, it worked with the zeitgeist of what was going on.
At the time, it was original for what UK was. The first time you're hearing people tell stories about the places where you're living and understand, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And the beats had their own sound. I was a massive UK hip-hop fan, innit?
People like to undermine it, too. I feel like there's a lot of revisionist history going on when it comes to, like, you know, that aspect of, like, of music. You know, people never talk about, you know, you might get London Posse talked about but that's really the generation before. So they skip over, like, because at the same time that Grime was coming out, that was also that was also bubbling. And that was actually really popular too. Kung Fu used to have lines, like Kung Fu was a UK hip hop night from back them days. It used to have lines all the way around Camden, like literally.
I feel like a lot of the people involved might have been from a more sort of
middle class.
I think like a lot of the rappers were from a road sort of life, but the fans, like, it just became a whole middle class fans thing, innit? So that's what it is. I think it's like class, and so if you ask some people of a certain age what was going on, then they'd be like, yeah, like Jest, and you know what I mean, all this shit, Task Force. And
Maybe Grime was a bit too high energy and not what.
Well, I mean, I think if you look at the times too, bro, it's like Grime, you know, was an innovative time for music too. You know, because like Timbaland and like Neptunes are coming out. In the States and that kind of stuff. And then, you know, it was kind of like a reemergence of like dancehall, like commercial dancehall was kind of big.
Yeah.
And then garage. And so like Grime was almost like a mixture of like all of those influences. But like somehow like the UK stuff with the UK hip hop stuff was kind of maybe more like just based in a certain type of hip hop.
Yeah.
And that made it.
Yeah. Or it was rebelling against that kind of move a little bit.
Well, I don't know. There was an element of like, I always see it like different personalities because, you know, like I feel like there was a lot of struggle rap, like UK struggle rap stuff that was definitely had like the hood element to it.
Yeah.
Mm.
But it's almost like there was more of a like, you know, being proud of being grimy and like not and being broke and
that
you're gonna like rob people and stuff and like the whole like grime thing was just a lot more like hype and like, you know, I mean they were like definitely about that to a degree too, but it wasn't like telling sub stories or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah, at first I was like a few bits I would like Skinny Man. And then I heard Jest, and then I was like, I think it's the Drifter. album. I might be wrong.
Yeah, Return of the Drifter.
Return of the Drifter. And then I was like, okay, yeah, this is fucking, this is me. Or this is who I want to be. Like, this is fucking, this speaks to me. And then, and then I got really into it. And then I loved Terra Firma because it was gangster.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it was gangster and also lyrical at the same time. It was like, and like they were also pushing, the thing I liked about Kalash and just and Terra Firma was that they were kind of pushing to also like rap on like modern rap beats.
Yeah, I liked that, definitely.
And I, that spoke to me as well, man, because I felt like there was a point where it was just like, oh, okay, cool. We've all heard this same beat a thousand times.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like I said earlier, that's where you started to shine through, I feel, because you were embracing the new, but it still, you had your own, and you still do, but you had your sound, so it was interesting.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like you guys were saying, man, I was influenced by both sides of the story. I could relate, because I was quite a kind of like rowdy, like angry kid. So that like energy that Grime had kind of like spoke to me. Like anything that was like talking about badding people up was just like, you're like a fucking ADHD kid in me, you know what I'm saying?
In a punk child was like, fucking loved it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I at the time, like when it was kind of bubbling, I remember, because I was at Brunel at the time, and I was listening. There was a pirate up there. I think it was called Freeze FM.
I used to take that because I
was like, yo, what the fuck is this tune? I just tape it so that I could know what tunes were getting played. You know what I mean? And it was weird though, because I would say to like friends of mine, I'd be like, yo, check this shit out. You're like, nah, I don't like it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what a lot of people, like I was saying earlier, it was one or the other. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's why these two people, well, especially people from Grime or whatever, might not even know that this UK hip hop scene existed because it was so underground. Do you know what I'm saying?
I don't think it really was. I'm going to be controversial. I don't think it really was that underground. It was underground to a degree, but there was a point where
they were selling out big venues and shit, man.
Exactly. And I feel like...
Yeah, but
like
you didn't
said,
have it. It wasn't something the kids were talking about. You wouldn't see kids at the back of the bus Bluetoothing each other a jazz tune.
Yeah, I think, no, you know, I think definitely in
not
London.
Not in London anyway.
Yeah. Maybe in like Oxford or some shit.
But you know what? I think definitely just London, because like I remember going to a jazz show in Brighton when Steve was at uni there. And like I thought it would be like other hip hop things I've been to, like the crowd wouldn't be rammed, like it would just be a vibe. And it was packed. And I was like, fucking hell.
Brighton was serious.
Yeah,
I think it was more popular than people really give it credit, man.
Yeah.
And I think, like I said, there's that kind of revisionist history thing that's going on where people don't like to talk about that because it's not cool. It's seen as being uncool.
Yeah.
But essentially, it was an important part of like of hip hop history in the UK.
Like Loyal Khana and people like that, they came from that. Like,
they wouldn't exist without Jest and Task Force and God knows who else. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. Skinny and Kalash and that.
Yeah, for sure. And then bloody Brain Tax came through and sort of ruined it all. And ended UK hip hop.
I always hear that. I don't know what happened, but
that's how you do the end to UK hip hop, innit? And at the end of the story, Brain Tax came through.
Well, who's Brain Tax? Don't worry.
Joseph Christie came along and he
ran Low Life, which a lot of them was on, and he just took the money and ran to Australia, innit?
He made a lot of money off of Skinny Man and Jest and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, actually, not.
And then ran off.
Then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Shit. I mean, it's like that story is mirrored in so many different genres, isn't it? So it's like, I feel like people get stuck on it. But
he Dame dashed it.
I feel like there's a combo of different things, man. I feel like Kung Fu was really a huge backbone to that scene.
Yeah.
And like those nights like that, and when they stopped happening, it kind of, I feel like that made everything kind of collapse. And then it was like Deal Real.
Yeah.
But Deal Real was like a different thing. Mm. You know what I mean? So it was like a new generation and that was it. There's no more of that.
Yeah.
Or like the people that survived that generation were like just the cream of the crop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just about survived it.
Hey.
Hey guys, it's Ron here. I gotta tell you, I'm feeling fucked. I know they can hear me, but I know exactly what's going on. I'm in control, and I'm just trying to ride the wave. I'm just listening to the Chatting Shit podcast. It's helping me get through, and it's gonna be all right. It's gonna be okay. Okay. I should go now. I should go.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, yo!
Yo!
Ha ha!
Ha 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 ha!
Will everybody shut the fuck up?
Settle down, settle down!
You're in tune to the Chatting Shit Podcast!
UK Stand Up!
The world's greatest!
The best there ever was that ever lived!
Series 2 out now, motherfucker!
Oh gosh!
Ha ha!
Are you ready?
Check it! Check it!
Are you ready?
Check it! When's the first time you realised you could make a living out of this and you don't have to sort of work any other jobs kind of thing?
It took a long time for that.
Yeah.
I feel like it's weird because I feel like, you know, you like, especially coming from the mentality that I had, you know, I came from this kind of like, yeah, for the love.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
real hip hop.
Someone going, I'll give you 10 grand. No way, I'm doing it for the love.
Yeah.
No, I would have taken it. Yeah. I would have taken it, sold myself short completely.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Sold away all my rights. Publishing.
300 quid? 300 quid?
Unpublished for 300 years.
Nice.
300? Oh, hold on. Let me just talk to my manager. Like, yeah. Don't have a manager.
Yeah. 300 quid? I'm literally a millionaire now.
And then once I've spent it all on rum and chicken, I'm done. Yeah. I think it was shit. I don't know. I always had this kind of weird, like, delusional belief in myself in some sort of weird way, man. I don't really know. I don't really know how I maintained it.
I don't think it's delusional, but maybe at the time it might have felt like it.
No, looking back at it, I'm like, yo, I had so much. I mean, still have so much to learn. I still don't really know how I even got here sometimes. But I don't know. Like, I spent years, like, in a day job, basically. I dropped out of uni and then I started working at Suspect Packages for Disorder.
Mm. Oh, shit.
And then, like, shout out to Disorder. But that, like, in some ways kind of started to kill my, like, love for UK. Not because of Disorder, like, just more so... I just don't know, like, when you're trying to make beats and then you've got a day job and then you're listening to, like, you, there was definitely some stuff that I didn't really like that was getting stocked. And I don't know, man, I'm so grateful for him for that opportunity because he definitely helped me out when I needed it and shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. It kind of like made me kind of lose the love for the UK hip hop thing. Yeah. And it was kind of around the time when the, like, Kung Fu stopped and it was like the beginning of the second Deal Real, where like D-Real Cyphers and stuff like that. So it, So my name was kind of starting to bubble a little bit, and then dealing with some of the characters in that scene as well, it was like, I just was disillusioned, man, because I couldn't see how you could make any money out of it.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
And at the time, musically, I was really not like inspired by any of that stuff. I was like more listening to like Dipset and like Rockefeller and like that kind of stuff.
Dipset era was amazing.
Right, right. But like all the affiliates too. Like Hell Rail and like J.L. Writer and all them sort of cats.
Zeke. Freaky Ziggy, man.
40 Cal.
I love the producers, man, the hit makers. Is that, that's what...
Yeah, fucking A-Rab Music came out of that that world too.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Eventually. But yeah, no, I was just listening to like New York mixtape shit and then like street mixtapes in London. Mm. That shit was more appealing to me.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it always evolves like American hip-hop. It doesn't stagnate, and I feel that maybe UK hip-hop wasn't...
Well, it didn't
quick enough
stick. Yeah, it didn't stick, did it? Like, it basically, like,
reared
its head and then went kind of more underground again.
Yeah.
And then grime was, like, prevalent. And at that point, like, grime was kind of in the next phase where it was becoming more lyrical, and you had, like, people like Getz and Dougs and, you know, like...
Wretch Free too.
Those guys, Wretch, yeah, exactly. Movement, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where they were just a bit more, they were more lyrical. Their flows were crazy. They were like innovating on the flow level and stuff like that. Yeah. And they were spitting on like modern hip hop beats. And I was like, yeah, man, I need to just do more of that. I don't know. There just came a point. It was like, I had one thing happen where I had beef with someone, and I was just like, you know what? Fuck this shit. I'm gonna focus on going to the States.
Yeah.
So, and it was the MySpace days, so I was hitting people on MySpace all the time. Man.
But that was a while ago. That was a long journey even to get to the States, or do you mean to start collaborating overseas?
No, that was like the point I like focused on like doing stuff in the States.
Yeah.
I just had enough, bro. There was just a point where like I was just like, you're dealing with shit and not getting anything back from it.
Yeah. Because after that sort of UK hip-hop era, you were on a Getz album, right?
Yeah, I was on the Getz, I forget what this, Ghetto Gospel.
Yeah,
amazing, bro. That's an amazing album as well, classic.
I did two tunes on there. I did the intro and I did You and Me with Wretch and Scorcher.
I remember because like back then it was so, like I remember everything was so segregated. It's like, I have a UK hip-hop or grime.
And,
and you were, just before I knew you as well, when I just knew of you. And I was like, raw, like Beat Butcher, he's like a UK hip hop producer. Now he's working with the grime heads. Like, so it was kind of a big deal.
I just related to that more at that point because it just captured my spirit a bit more.
Yeah. It excited you.
Yeah, I was kind of more like, I was still kind of like frustrated, like angry fucking guy. So, and then like just the flow, the mad flows and just like all of that stuff just excited me more than... You know what I mean? The UK hip hop thing became a cliche.
Yeah, I got you.
And then this was like a new thing, you know, that I wanted to get involved in.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. So I did that. And then I did, I think around that same time, we had Terrifier and Get Down remix as well.
Yeah, I remember that.
Which got playlisted on One Extra thing. I think that was the first tune I had that was ever like really on radio.
Sick.
Yeah. So it was a sign that this is what you should be doing.
I forgot that was the question, wasn't it?
Very professional of Hugo looping it back round. Like,
segueing it back in.
Sorry, man. I'm a fucking waffler, bro.
Bro, it's cool chatting shit. That's what we're here to do, isn't it?
Nice. Like, everyone's just going to be fast forwarding it. UK hip hop, UK hip hop, UK hip hop. Fuck! Nothing about Griselda.
Yeah. Okay. Drum pad, forward. Technical. a reverb plug-in.
How did you start working with Griselda?
Sorry, bro. Yeah, go on. Carry on.
So I don't know. That was the first record that was on the radio, and then fast forward. Basically, that put the battery in my back to like push for to try and push to do like bigger things and just try and do more stuff in the States.
Yeah. So how did all the US collabs start happening then? Like obviously MySpace was big at the time. Yeah.
Yeah, so MySpace was really the first thing, place that I was like reaching out to people. And at the time, I was like a huge Dipset fan, G-Unit fan, and all the affiliates, everything. I just reached out to everyone.
Standard.
Absolutely everyone. And I was like, yo, can I send beats? And I don't know, somehow like I ended up getting in contact with some people that were cool with, like, because Mobb Deep at the time and G-Unit had some of the same circle.
Yeah.
Little affiliates.
Yeah, and yeah, so I kind of got, yeah, this dude somehow like got to know about me. I guess he was like, he was a man in the, you know, remember those beat submission emails?
Yeah, yeah.
He was like, yeah, send beats to Mobb Deep or whatever. I was like, oh, yeah, fuck it. I'll send a bunch of beats to Mobb Deep. And he's not, never Mobb Deep standing behind it. It's always some,
no, some weird
affiliate geezer.
Yeah.
Who's deciding what's good.
No, absolutely. And probably using the beats for his own fucking
tape. My project, son.
Yeah. Hosted by Havoc.
Yeah. Hosted by Havoc's brother.
It was like that though. But yeah, anyway, so I got in contact with this dude and somehow I ended up getting links with Havoc and Tony Yayo. And then
what was the first collab that you dropped with a US artist?
I think the first thing that really got me like super excited was probably that, like, I linked up with Sean Price for Pumpkinhead, like, rest in peace Pumpkinhead, and rest in peace Sean Price. That was kind of exciting because, like, Sean P was kind of like bubbling. He was, you know, like, in on the underground, he was like one of the hottest things. So it was dope because anything I sent him, he just recorded. Like, first four beats that I sent him, he recorded. So
perfect. I'm a massive fan, man, because he's Helter Skelter Nocturnal. That album's like, that's like one of my top five albums, man, from that.
Yeah, I love that. I love that as well. Let the madness begin.
It felt like they were just freestyling the whole album. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like,
for sure. But that was the first thing that like really got me excited. And then like obviously the Havoc thing got me excited too. But there was always this, until I really like got to go out there for a long period of time, there was always this like arm's length thing going on.
You know what I mean? Yeah, for sure.
They're gonna keep you in an arm's length if you're just that guy in Europe that sends beats via email, because there's no incentive for them to pay you or to look after you, really. It's just like, oh yeah, it's my secret weapon.
Yeah.
Whether it's the right thing or not, you know, but
And also to keep you in mind for other different things, if they get to know you and get to know what you're about and what else you can do, rather than this invisible guy.
Because you never know who's gonna be at that studio or that, you know, those opportunities.
Those are the key parts to I think networking and really like creating a name for yourself is like if the right people are talking about you. So like being in the room.
Would you say in that era though that you made links and made friendships that have, although maybe you stopped working with certain camps, but the friendships and links that you made, you still have them now and you kind of benefit.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, since I moved out here, I've been to New York like once since I've been out here. Mm. But I used to go to New York like 2-3 times a year. And because of that, I have like a really good friend group out there, man.
Yeah.
And those guys will stay friends with me forever. Like, even if we don't really work that often, like,
your boys.
If anybody ever needs anything from me, I'm always like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If I'm working with somebody and somebody has an idea for something, you know what I mean?
But I assume it worked as a kind of domino effect, like that, you know, now you're in LA working with other people. That's all stemmed from the fact that you made those moves in the first place, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I managed to lay a foundation to make a career, which is then because other people have remembered me from other things.
It all
ties into each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's important, man. How did the move happen though, man? It's a long time ago when you started collabing with like US people, then start going over. But
yeah, so I don't know, man. Like basically, to cut a long story short, I kind of lived out there used to be able to do this thing where you could like stay for like just under 3 months, go home and then stay. I don't know how legal that was at the time.
Like, re-up the visa.
I did that a few times at one point. And then I made a trip to LA in 2014 with a bunch of my New York mates, and the stuff we got done in that week, like I had basically Dre recorded a song to one of my things. That solidified like, yo, I gotta move to LA.
That's Dr. Dre for anyone listening in.
Good friend of the podcast.
I'm not talking about Dr. Dre. No.
All right.
Andre 3000. Right. Three or stacks.
Cool Dre.
Yeah.
Dr. J. And I don't know, but that solidified it. And then when I got back, I looked into like getting a visa, but it basically turned out that
I've got to get a visa. Dre needs me.
Yeah.
No, seriously though, I looked into it and it was all a bit like expensive, and I didn't really have the money for it.
It was bare money, man.
I mean, a few things happened in my personal life where it was like, shit, I'm gonna go for it. So I called them. I called the company up again, and they basically said, yeah, you're probably eligible for a green card. Why would you go for a 3-year visa when you can go for a 10-year green card?
Sick.
I started that process, but it was a lot of work, man. It took like 3 years to get that. Like, right. Like finally I got to like the last point. I got like approved, and then you basically have to wait for another year to get like your interview and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like the longest year ever, bruv.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I moved, like basically I was like, I don't know what's happening. So I moved back in with my mum for like
yeah.
It was meant to be for a month. And it turned out to be, yeah.
Now I'm living with my mum. What's going on?
Yeah, bro, it wasn't good for my ego, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Terrible. So when I got out here, bro, I was just so shocked. I didn't even think, at one point, I just didn't think it was going to happen anymore. But yeah, man, I got here eventually.
It must have been such a great feeling though, when they were like, yeah, you can go.
Yeah, I don't know. It felt great though, man.
Amazing.
I was on a high for the first 6 months. I think I was drunk every day. Like in the sun, like,
Sick.
America.
Fuck off,
mum.
Yeah. Wait, so what how did the whole like Griselda link up happen then, man?
Yeah, bro. It was it's weird. It kind of like
was that something that happened once you'd already moved to America, kind of.
No, there was talk of it before I even moved.
Oh, okay.
It's basically a combination of like 2 or 3 different like things. Yeah. One of the things was that my manager was working at Shady at the time and had like signed Griselda to Shady.
Sick.
So that played a big part in it, but I don't think I was his main idea for it. Basically that was like the icing on the cake type thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I'd built a relationship with Darringer.
Mm.
How did that come about? Because when I looked at the credits, it's you and Darringer and all the beats in it on the Griselda album.
Yeah, so basically there was talk of them, obviously, they got signed to Shady, and then there was talk of them basically not being able to use samples, and that's a huge part of their sound.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
And because I kind of knew Darringer a little bit, kind of like bigger circle of, you know, I obviously knew Al for some time because me and Budgie are really close.
The Alchemist, and, one of our Budgie. Best mates, Carrion and Budgie. Nice.
Yeah.
I've had one conversation with him, but he's well safe. So
he's our best mate. It's fine.
Yeah, chuck him up there.
Yeah, and they were cool with Darringer, so
there's
guess
some sort of a producer WhatsApp group, sort of. I'm imagining.
Not quite. I reckon there was a bit of crosstalk though, that like, where sending like Darringer stuff and sending Budgie stuff.
Yeah.
Send it, and like Earl had some of my shit, and you know, I don't know, all of that stuff, like. Yeah. Like, so the first things we worked on were basically songs for Conway's album. Oh. Conway's album's been in the making probably for the longest.
Oh, shit.
And, And two of the songs actually were on, ended up being on the Griselda project. One of them was Bang, and then the other one was whatever I forget what the 50 one was called. The 51 and the M1, they were originally on the first incarnation of the Conway album.
It's mad because Spurs 3 sounded like something that would be off the Griselda album.
It's funny because Spurs 3 wasn't. Spurs 3 was a beat from around the time we were working. Or I can't remember. Like, we were at Alchemist's anyway. I made that sample using Al's kalimba. Somebody had given Al this like kalimba.
Yeah.
And he was like, and I was like, yo, can I borrow this? And he's like, yeah, go ahead. I'm not going to use it. I'm like sitting there with my like voice note on my phone. Like,
sick. Oi, that beat is so gully, man.
It was mad though, because I like made the sample with the idea that, you know, Darringer was going to do something with it.
Yeah.
And I played it with him, and I guess he wasn't really fucking with it. And then I like put like drums on it. And, played it to him, and he's like, no, you should keep it like that. And I was like, all right, cool. So it just ended up being like an off cut I forgot about, and then Conway reached out for music for that album. I like sent it to him.
Shit, you know, sounded like Spurs 3.
Benny fucking killed it.
Man, we're powered around the exits.
Yeah. Bro, you know, I wigged out when I first heard Benny's verse on Dr. Birds.
Oh man, fucking hell.
His verse on that is so crazy.
Yeah.
So crazy.
That whole album's crazy, man. Yeah, super.
Thanks,
impressed.
Man. It's weird. I had this kind of feeling like people weren't gonna like it, man. Because I like to do like post production and stuff, but with these guys, they're kind of used to working a certain way, so I can't really do post production on it.
Sick. What, they're just like, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, no drops, nothing. Yeah. So amazing. I always had this kind of feeling. I was just left feeling like, yo, oh, man, it's, I feel like it could do with more. But then now listening,
could make it better.
Yeah, exactly. But now listening back to it, I'm like, yeah, actually, no, it's solid, man. It's dope.
Yeah.
And it's become a thing.
Yeah.
But one thing I will say is like, there's been dudes that have come out and tried to like emulate exactly what we've done on that album. And yeah, I'm like,
definitely.
That's kind of like in some way played part of the formula of that kind of beat that that me and Darren were doing for that out. So we've got to, I feel like I want to just stay ahead of the curve and just try and do something.
Yeah, yeah.
Just try and like do some different shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What's Darren just saying, man? He seems like a cool guy.
Yeah.
Nah, that's my brother, man. They're all mad cool, bro. Yeah. They're all mad cool. They're great dudes, man.
But you haven't only been doing the dirty shit, have you? You've been doing some pop moves out there.
I mean, I
getting your sunglasses on.
I was kind of moving in that direction. I had like
arriving horseback.
I did.
Bare back.
With my fucking curly hair coming. Yeah.
With a low rider.
And my chest tattoo.
Yeah. Didn't one of your songs get Grammy nominated?
No, it won. It's a bonus cut though.
Shit, come on.
Go on, and who's on that track?
Yeah, it's little artists or
go on.
Yeah, just Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Fucking hell.
And that's what I'm saying. Also one of the biggest songwriters and artists in the world, maybe.
Mm.
And he might be having something next door to you. Yeah, am I right?
Go on, who's that?
Party next door.
Hey! Oh, come on, turn it down, mate.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, bro. Fucking hell. How the fuck did that shit come about, man? Like, you're known for working on some like hard street killer beats.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it happened before the Griselda thing. Okay. So I was kind of on this tangent.
Kind of what spurred
like,
Griselda onto you. You heard that Jay-Z Beyonce shit?
Yeah, yeah.
I got some shit you gonna love.
Yeah.
Gun heard Salute and was like, yeah, nah, I need that.
To get him on. Yeah.
Yo, I need that, baby.
I need that hook. I was on this kind of like path where I was doing samples and stuff, and I guess that was like part of one of the folders that my manager had sent out, and Kool & Dre, maybe it wasn't that way around. Now, somehow I got in contact with Kool & Dre. I think it was via my manager, some stuff that he sent out, and they just hit me and were like, yeah, I need the stems to this joint and this joint. And I saw that they were like, I kind of like read between the lines. I knew that they were like working probably with Beyonce and Jay.
Sick.
Because like I saw they were, I think they were in Paris or might have been in London or something. I can't remember. It was either Paris, it was, or both.
Why not?
I don't know what like the American fascination with recording stuff in Europe is. I suppose it's the same.
You're going to record
the same
in Paris. Why?
It's
all in French.
I'm going to record it in Kiev.
It's a beautiful city.
You gotta go to Europe. Why? It's because they've got really good Air Maxes there. Okay.
Yeah. We're gonna do it in Croatia.
Great clogs out there. Yeah.
We stayed in this beautiful city called Croatia.
So I guess they got it from that, and then you just asked for the shit and asked for the stems or whatever, and then literally it was pretty last minute when I heard that it was coming out.
Wow.
And
amazing.
It was like maybe like the day before my birthday or something. It might even be my birthday. Yeah. I don't remember, but it was around my birthday.
We called that birthday present.
Yeah. that sounded very Kennedy.
That's what it is. Yeah. Wait, listen though, power moves though, man. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Who else is on your hit list that you ain't worked with that you'd like to?
I mean, there's definitely people that I have worked with that I'm sitting on tracks with that were on the hit list.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I don't know, man. So what are you saying?
You've completed it?
No. Yeah.
There's a few things I mean,
I don't want to say it, but but yo, like, yeah. So I'd love to work with. There's loads of like. R&B people that I fuck with, man. I love to work with Lucky Day, SZA, Frank Ocean. I love to work with. Let me think. Who else? I really like Giveon as well.
Have you worked with Earl?
Not well. We know each other, but I know we haven't. We haven't. It's weird because like we did talk about doing some stuff, or like did kind of talk. He was like, "Yeah, oh, we gotta sit down and you know what I mean, this shit." So I don't know.
That'd be hard.
I don't know, man. Like, I haven't worked with him. I don't know. Other than that, like, shit. Like, yeah, Travis Scott would be fucking sick.
Yeah,
straight up.
More Jay records like would be good.
Oh man, yeah. What about English artists?
English artists.
Super Don. He had one freestyle out years ago.
The Mighty Hopes.
Yes,
come on.
Paradox. Yeah, Paris Supermall 69. Nice. I would have tried to do that one.
Yeah,
that
would be sick. What about Stephen Stamp? Doesn't really write.
No, absolutely. He's good on the beatbox. I like his beatboxing.
What does the future hold for you, though, bro?
At the moment, I'm focusing. I'm gonna be putting some music out, probably under an alias.
I don't want anyone to know it's me.
Well, I feel like I'm okay with people knowing it's me, but I feel like it shouldn't be a Beat Butcher thing. You know what I'm saying?
I got you. Yeah. Like it's got its whole other thing.
It has its own world. It kind of sits in a. There's a crossover. Like people who are really fans of like the deeper cuts of mine and stuff. Yeah. You know that, and some of the R&B shit that I've got coming. They're probably gonna fuck with that. But it's not. In other words, like the diehard like hip hop fans, like Griselda fans and stuff, are probably not gonna fuck with.
Yeah. And are you ever going to drop a whole Beat Butcher album with different rappers on it?
Probably not, man. Okay. I was thinking about I want to do like some EPs though, man.
Yeah,
I want to do an EP.
That'd be sick.
I got a couple of ideas, but it's too early in the It's too early to really speak about. But yeah, but like the main thing is I'm just like focusing on like kind of like R&B shit at the moment. I've been doing a lot more like Griselda stuff, but I've also got like a lot of like R&B records coming.
Nice.
So,
balance.
Yeah, and like, but like still with that kind of same sensibility that I like the feeling for like the retro textures, but then still trying to be futuristic.
Yeah, amazing. Bit, you know? Yeah, that's sick, man.
Yeah, I don't know. Life's going to be very different probably next year, man.
I like that, in a good way,
in a way where I could come out and stay and, and live.
Yeah.
Live rent free on
reality for a bit.
Yeah, man. Yeah. In the on the porch in the sun.
That's cool, man.
In 40 degree heat.
In a sort of way where Hugo gets invited out. You've already organised all the studio sessions for him, got him beats of all the best rappers, and I feature on some of them tracks probably. In that sort of way?
Right, possible. Is that doable?
Yeah, got you, man.
Yeah. Not a big thing, bro. Right. I will need a big studio.
Just call my manager. We'll do lunch.
Me and Conway back to back on an album. That call your manager, yeah?
Yeah, man. No problem.
No, because I did ask Alchemist and he was like, speak to you. He said that you said it was cool.
So. And now he's changed his number for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On that note, I feel like I need to ask you the most important question we ask everyone because it's a question.
It's
a sandwich. Great. I was about to explain it. But it's the sandwich. Yeah. What's your favorite sandwich?
The sandwich. What's your favorite sandwich?
Man, I should have come prepared for this.
Is like literally the only person that's heard one of our episodes. Everyone else is like, fucking hell, Jesus Christ. Sandwich.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a fanboy, man. Yeah. I'm not even going to front.
I like that.
Man. Oh, I listen to it and I'm like, I skip through all the bits of you guys talking, of course.
Alchemist, very interesting.
My favorite part is the bits where you guys do like really bad accents. There's like one American one.
Ron.
Oh, man.
That's an amazing American accent. Ron.
Hey, guys. Ron here.
Ron. I'm not going to pretend that I'm not going to pretend that I could do a better one prompted.
But, nah, do you know what? Yeah, for the untrained ear, it works for English people, but for people that live in America, it's probably a bit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're like, what region is this? I've never heard this accent
yeah,
before.
Yeah.
Really, my favorite one is the Scouse one, man. The Scouse one's amazing.
Yeah,
it's fucking hilarious. Favorite sandwich, man. I don't even really eat sandwiches like that.
But what? You live in America?
Kebab, maybe. I miss kebabs.
Wait, hold on. Yeah, they got shit halal food out there, right? Or they do.
Yeah, it's bollocks. I mean, there's some shit that can fly slightly.
So what? Let's switch it up for you, man. Like, if you're going for a kebab, what type of kebab are we talking? We talk about Turkish, Lebanese, Iraqi. We talking about shawarma. We talking about shish kofta. What?
Who's talking about?
I'm just going for your stereotypical donor, Turkish donor.
Just
just a filthy. But it has to be from a good. It has to be good from a good spot though. It has to be with all the like the fresh fucking, with all the fresh like fucking cabbage and fucking onions and all that type of shit, and just like a good, you know, good tom on it and all that.
Have you had a German donor?
Yes, I think German donor is kind of decent too, man.
Banging.
I don't know, bro. Like banging. I'm just.
That's where donor comes from, bro. It comes from Berlin. Yeah, yeah. It's when the Turks moved to Berlin. For me, that's the best. And I feel like you probably have them in Netherlands, right? Like that. Like it's Europe that do them like that.
Yeah, good kebabs out there.
Yeah.
They do, yeah. They have decent kebabs, man. It's still not quite on the levels, though, that the German ones are, man.
Yeah, right. Mm. So we finish up as you probably know, we finish up the podcast, or pod, as I like to call it, yeah? with...
The three questions. Oh, shit. I should have come prepared. Fuck. Man, I feel like I could.
Same one for both of us.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, right. Hugo, are you planning on making a return to the production world?
Yeah. In short. Yeah, but like completely different. I guess similar to what you were
saying
before.
Hugo, we spoke about this before. More confidence. Come on.
Okay, fuck, sorry. Do I have to do the clap into it again?
Yeah.
It's similar to what you were saying before about your, this, you know, when you were like talking about your discography and how there are things you've done. I feel like that too. So I feel like I've taken a good 4 years off.
Mm.
So, yeah, man.
But I feel like you, I always liked the fact that you and Harry always kind of came from that same, from the hip hop angle, but like managed to do all these massive pop records and, but still kind of somehow like managed to keep some of those elements in there. I thought that was kind of cool.
Oh, thanks.
If I can just,
I don't know, man.
You hate all of the pop records, but the pop records.
Yeah, but I felt like the more I was doing it, the more that I was being chipped away of that kind of like fresh excitement that I wanted to install into. I mean, not that anyone was noticing or gave a shit, but I felt like I wanted there to be a lane of good music, pop music, that had those exciting qualities that hip-hop, rap, drill, whatever has. Like
to me, because like when I got to like really sit down with you guys, I was kind of at like a pretty uninspired time. So you were like probably some of the people that actually did inspire me at the time.
Oh, that's sick. So I think I'm just going to take my time and work out what I want to do properly and then make a grand return that no one will care about.
Question two.
Oh, man. Now I've got to think of one that with both of you guys. Here we go. Why didn't I get to be your brother in the People Just Do Nothing?
Wait, because this could be this could be for either of us, because you look like a love child of me and Hugo. So who's
brother? It's true. Especially with this new beard style I've got going on.
Because quite frankly,
love you.
Quite frankly, you were drunk.
Oh, right, there you go.
Joking.
No, makes sense.
Yeah. No, you know, you could have always been in it if you asked, man. We just thought you were too busy for us, man. With Mobb Deep,
better things going on.
Question three now.
I don't know. When's the film coming?
Oh, what a fucking cop out question. Fucking hell. All right.
Oh, no. August, mate. August.
Yeah, August.
That's a cop out. when are you not coming to fucking America, man?
Oh, bro. All right, that's a sick question. Soon as all this shit's done, we want to, and we're releasing a film, we're releasing a corrupt album as well. So we're going to be coming out on, we're going to be doing tours everywhere. So we're going to come out to America on tour. And you've got to come through on the LA tour and get waved at.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man.
Mandatory wavage. Oh,
that'd be sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Nah, absolutely. Super Dan. Super DJ. Dan.
And then Hugo stays on. Hugo stays on to live at yours for a bit. And then I work in the studio just fiddling with wires.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will bring my family as well, if that's cool. We'll stay there. Nah. Looks like you got a good stay.
Three guys.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Beat Butcher, we got one more question, bro. Are you our new best friend?
Yes.
Come on.
I thought we were always
best
friends.
You already know the answer to that.
When were we not best friends, that's man? Right.
We needed it in writing.
Correct.
The contract's coming.
Thank you very much, mate. Beat Butcher. Hey!
This is the outro. See you later. And good luck. Stay lucky, boy. Stay lucky, boy.
Oh, God. What an absolute episode.
What an insight. What an insight. Yeah.
What an insightful insight.
Yeah.
To the man. To the man we know just as our mate.
As Butcher.
Yeah. As Butch.
Yeah.
Yeah. As Pat. I just call him Pat sometimes.
Pat. Oh, right. Yeah. Pat Butcher. Yeah. The man with the best drum kits in the game.
Exactly.
If you don't have them, get them.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'd say.
Just Google Beat Butcher. You'll find out. I mean, probably a lot of your favorite ever hip hop tunes have been made by him.
Yeah.
Well, not ever. I mean, in the last 10 years.
Yeah, 15.
All right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, check out Beat Butcher. Fucking genius in the game.
Mm.
A true gentleman.
Big fat.
A wizard in his sport of music.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Took the words out of my mouth.
Yeah, well, I always do. I plant them there and take them back out.
Thank you. Yeah.
How you feeling anyway?
Yeah, good, man.
Good. What are you up to tonight?
Nothing. To be honest, we've had quite a busy week. So
yeah, big time.
Are we pretending we did this afterwards?
No, we could talk about it.
All right,
Pierce Enough and Film is out now.
Film's out, baby. Yeah. Film's out.
Cinemas nationwide. Go check that. Go check Corrupt FM's Greatest Hits, that album we dropped as well.
It's out now.
We say we, it was the characters that we play, of course.
Yeah, but we had to do it.
We did all the work because it was us. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, check that shit out. It's fire, if I do say so myself. And would you say so yourself?
I would, actually. Listening back to it, I was actually like, wow, we made quite a good album.
And you were like, wow, Seif is actually sick at spitting.
Oh, I've always known that.
Yeah, you always known that. Yeah,
that's why I agree to do things, because I know that.
You know, I'll just write the lyrics and just fuck about.
Pretty much.
But yeah, Film's out nationwide. People See Nothing, big in Japan. Crotch Film, Greatest Hits out now. Yes, we've plugged because it's our show. See you later.
Sponsored by
us.
Yeah.
See you later.
Oh, speaking of that, actually, we can keep this in.
Yeah, go on quickly.
A massive pallet, is that what they're called? Of Gosney pizza oven turned up at my house about an hour ago.
Oh, huge one.
Fucking massive.
Oh, bruv, did you not know you was getting that?
Well, I said to him, don't worry. Like, I've got the little one.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that. And now I've got, like, it's literally like an oven.
Yeah, but you've got a yard, innit?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
I'm going to set it up.
Yeah, standard. I've got mine on the way, but I've told him to hold it until I move into yard. I've just got my little balcony, which is
mental. Yeah, or put in your mum's garden or something. I don't know.
They can hold on to it for now. But shout out Gosney, man. Yeah. Best pizza ovens in the game, man.
Yes, sir.
Foya, quite literally.
Foya?
Yeah.
Really?
Nice one.
Powered by Foya.
Exactly. Anyway, see you later.
See you, man.
Hey, yo! Will everyone shut the fuck up? I want to give a crazy, stupid, dope fly shout out to everyone involved in this podcast.
Nah, fuck that. Who's the brain that produces this show, man?
Man like Rupert Magending.
And who's the audio editor?
James Torrance, check
it. House. Who's the video editor?
Ha ha, James Lord.
And who does all the illustrations?
It's Alison the Ink.
Mad on the visuals, bruh.
Shout out all the posse down at Acast Laboratory. Hip-hop, am I right, hustler?
You're not wrong, Playboy Valentino.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.